Okay, you guys that are over there, can y'all move more towards the middle? Everybody's going to sit towards the middle. We have all this area right here so that you can see. And this is where we're going to start sitting every Sabbath. Come over here, guys. Over here. Put it in there. There you go. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. How are you guys doing today? See, this gives us more space to sit. Okay, I have a question to ask you. Can you guys tell me, what is God like? What do you think God is like? One thing that you think God is like.
Kindness.
You think he's kindness? Good job. Love. Love, okay. What else? What else do you think God is like? Promises. Okay. What about you? He's joyful. Okay. Anything else? I can think of several more things that God is like. What do you think?
Glorious.
Glorious. Okay. Yes. Perfect. Good job. Anything else? Patient. Okay. Awesome. Okay, I'm thinking of another word that starts with P. Peaceful, okay, what else? Patient, what else?
He's powerful.
He's powerful, very good. Powerful is one of the ones I wanted to talk about, but there's another thing that God does for us that starts with the letter P. Something that he does so that we can be safe. He protects us, that's right. And today, my story is about God's power to protect us. Now, does your mommy and daddy try to protect you? How do they try to protect you? What do they do to protect you? What do? They look after you, that's right. Do they keep you from going out in the street? Do they tell you wise choices to make? Do they help you make good choices? Yeah, they try to protect you because they love you, right? Does God love you? Yes, he does. How much does God love you? How much? A lot. Do you think God loves you more than your mommy and daddy love you? Do you think so? Yes, he does. Well, today I'm going to tell you a story. And I need everybody not to bump this. Can you put crisscross your legs so that they don't bump my table? Because I don't want anybody to get hurt, okay? Now over here, that's okay. Over here, I have a few things, okay? And this is to show us how God cares for us, he protects us, and how he is powerful, okay? So, let's see. This paper towel, sorry. This paper towel symbolizes us. So we're going to pretend like this is us. And there are things that can happen in our life, things that help us, that keep us from being safe. Things that we might do that cause us to sin, or things that we do that may cause us to be in a dangerous situation. So if Emma went and got in the road, would that be safe? No, it wouldn't. That would mean that Emma was putting herself in danger because she wasn't making a good choice, right? So this paper towel is like us, and we can make wrong choices and we can do wrong things. And we're the only ones that can choose to do those wrong things, right? Or we can choose to do good things, right? There are other things that can cause us harm, too. There are things in the world that can be dangerous that we might not know about, right? So that's why God says to read our Bible and to pray so that we can have wisdom to know what is dangerous and what is not. And that's why he gave us parents, to take care of us, right? And so this paper towel is us. This water is going to be the world, the things around us that can cause harm to us if we're not making good choices and doing the right thing. So this is us, and we're going to put us into the world. And that world can cause us to do wrong things. It causes us to sin. Are we strong? Can we do this by ourselves? Can we be strong by ourselves if we are in the world? Are all of us in the world right now? Yes. So what do we need so that we can be strong? We need God to help us, right? So now, and God wants to help us, and He wants to protect us, and He's very powerful to do that. Okay, now I have another paper towel. I'm going to need someone to hold this. And this is us again. But this is God. Right here is God. And God wants to help us. He wants to keep us safe. And so He surrounds us with His love and His protection. Now, do you think if we are in God and we're doing what God wants us to do, that we'll be safe if we go into the world? We will. So now I want you to watch. Now this is us wrapped in God's love and in God's protection. And when we go into the world, do you think that we're going to get wet and soaked with sin and being in danger? Let's see. Now I'm going to wipe off the outside of the cup and the edges, because it's wet. Are we wet? Are we hurt? Are we safe? Yes. Yeah, so we have to remember that God can keep us safe because He is powerful and He is strong enough to do that. I have a verse to share with you, and it is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, "But the Lord is faithful." That means He never forgets. He remembers. "The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." So no matter what is bad in this world, God can protect us if we spend time with Him and we stay inside Him and let Him wrap His arms around us. He will always keep us safe. No matter what bad things could go wrong, God will keep us, and He will help us through those things. Let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank You for this reminder that You protect us and that You are powerful enough to protect us. We ask You to help us to remember to stay strong in You so that we can be protected and safe. We love You, dear Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Amy, for that profound message. After I've shaved my beard, everybody says I look 20 years younger. So that's why I went down for Children's Story. That was impactful for me for those that didn't see it, when she put the glass that represented God and us in that glass and put it in, we did not get wet, but the glass did. And then I realized the cross, how God took the world. He who knew no sin became sin. This time of prayer is not just a time of prayer, but also a time of praises as well. We don't talk about it very much. You know, if you have praises, those blue cards for prayer requests, you can put praises on there too. I'm sure Pastor would love to hear about all the praises that you have in your life as well. We're a church of prayer, but we're also a church of praises, right? So at this time, if you have a blue card written out, bring it forward. If you don't, you can always fill it out afterwards and put it in the offering basket that the deacon comes by for offering, and the pastor will get it then as well. So, and if you don't have any of those, you could still come up and join this time of prayer in front. So at this time, please come forward. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Sabbath day that you have given us all the way from the beginning of creation. Lord, you have given us this day for physical rest, for spiritual rest, for emotional rest. And Lord, all the things of this last week and the past, we can put aside. And all the things of the future, we can put aside and put our life in your hands right now. And Lord, we also recognize that this is a day that we recognize you as our Creator. And as a Creator, you know everything about us. But Lord, we also know that you are able to hear our prayers and our praises, and to do something about these difficulties and trials and needs in our lives. Lord, there are people here that have family and friends that don't know Jesus, that we want them to know Jesus. We want them to know you, Lord. We want them to have a relationship with you. And Lord, you know what best possible way that is. And we leave it up to you. If we are a part of it, Lord, make it clear to us. But Lord, bring them to you. Lord, we also have ailments, sickness, of family and friends, and even some of us here. Lord, we lift these up to you. Lord, you healed the sick on the Sabbath day so that they may get the full enjoyment of the Sabbath day. And Lord, we ask for that as well. Lord, we ask that you be with Elder Amari and the word that you have given him, that you will calm his heart and give him the lips to speak your message, and give us the ears and hearts to hear and to be convicted, and the minds to move in the direction that you have us to go. Lord, thank you that these prayer requests that are on our hearts and that are on these blue cards will be turned into praises. And Lord, we look forward to more cards of praises. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Your offering this week goes for conference advance. So if you think of Paul when he talked about the parts of the church, he compared it to what? A body. And with a body, are there unnecessary parts? No, most of us work the best if all of our parts are there. And so the same with the church. We need all of the parts of the church to work together. We're not all the eye, we're not all the ears, and we need each other, but we also need somebody to help us to be organized and to be an efficient army and efficient workers. And that's kind of what the conference does for us. It's an organizer. If you're going to get a job done, you need somebody to do the work, but also somebody to be organizing it. And that's what our offering goes for today, is for conference advance. So at this time, our deacons will wait upon us. Please bow your heads. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, we are giving to you what is really only yours, and you have given to us to use. And we bring it back to you with praises and ask that it go to help finish the work so we can all go home. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This is a vacation week for me, and I'm glad to be here as a member of this body. We're going to be singing a song together, my family and I. And the song we're going to be singing is actually a Swedish song, but it's in English. It's number 532 in your hymnal, so you can follow along there. It's called Blot and Dog in Swedish. And so we're going to be singing this song, and has a beautiful message. It's written by a blind woman. She was blind all her life, and she wrote a lot of songs. And this is one of the songs I remember the most from my childhood.
Sarah would have loved to be here to sing with us today. However, she fell down the stairs this last week and really hurt herself, so she wasn't able to be with us. Pray for her. She was carrying her newly arrived kitty from South Korea, and he's very big and wasn't quite used to his environment, so he was struggling a little bit, and so she was trying to hold on to him, didn't hold on to the rail. So we miss her today.
Till I reach the promised land. reach the promised land.
Till I reach the promised land.
Okay, just wait. Wait till they'll go sit down. And then he puts the mic up for you. Hold on.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is from Mark 5, verse 8 and 9. And it says, "For he said to him, Come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, What is your name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many." Have a happy Sabbath.
What a beautiful song that was. Amen? Amen? You know, you get excited every single time thinking about how heaven will be. I want you just to think about it just for a minute. We have people who speak Kinyarwanda here. We have people who come from Romania. We have people who come from Asia. And then we just had a song that was written by a Swedish guy. God is good. God is good. And all the time, that is much better. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Oh, my Father, possess me with your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, please. That way you might be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name I do pray and believe. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 5. And if you're there, you say amen. 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 What a beautiful, beautiful and just humble. When you think about it, it's been a beautiful week. The weather has been going up and down, hot, cold, but we just want to thank God. We want to thank God for every single thing that he's doing for us, because the more he's doing things for his people, the more the enemy is trying to do things against his people. But we have a sure word. If you would bear with me, this is a new Bible. I still have to break it in. You know, the other Bible that I had, you would just do this and then it just falls where you need to fall. But it just takes a while, so we're going to get there. I'm going to read from verse 1. And he says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, you, by God, that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." What a peculiar story that is. It had been a long, long day. It had been a long night prior to this incident happening. And we are told in chapter 4, we are told that the disciples, so Jesus had been preaching and teaching and doing miracles in the Galilee. And he had decided to cross over to the Gadarenes, whereby the people there were a little bit leaning towards the heathen side. And that's where Christ would find peace and just rest for a while. They were in a boat, and then the tempests were raging. But Jesus, he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is shortly after Jesus had picked up his 12 disciples. Jesus had been going around trying to pick people that he already knew were going to finish the work that he had started. Here in amazement, you think that these people are standing back in awe, just really trying to come into terms with the power that Jesus had, the power that he had had to control the elements. Master, the tempest are raging. Anybody knows that song? Don't worry about it. If you don't know it, don't worry about it. But anyway, that's the song that comes to my mind. When you think about it, these are baby Christians. I'm thinking about the disciples. These are baby Christians, people who are not really solid in their Christianity or in their walk with Christ because they just barely had been chosen. Right? And then they're looking at Jesus, and then they're wondering, what sort of power is this? And then, after everything that they had seen all through the night, they come to the shores. But then they were not prepared for what was there awaiting them. They were not prepared for what was awaiting them. Because as they pull up, and then they hop out. Here comes a man who has been possessed by a bad and evil spirit. A man who was foaming in the mouth. A man who had chains probably just broken the shackles were broken from his hands and feet, probably, because he was too strong for those. You know, he was probably bleeding. I want you just to take a deep dive into the passage and actually try to visualize what is going on in the passage. This is somebody who was covered with hair everywhere. And then despite the miracles over the elements the night prior, the disciples were not ready. You can see them running away because this is something that was new to them. They took off, only to realize that their master, Jesus, had stayed behind. My name is Legion. You know, at times we read stories in the Bible and then we cannot believe them because they're just so hard for us to believe. I remember when me and my wife, I was getting rebaptized, and then my wife was just joining the church, and then she got baptized for the very first time. We were excited. We were so excited, whereby we were trying to do everything that you can do as a Christian, you know? And we were driving down Harry Street, and then we seen a lady, an older lady who had a walking stick, but then again she was walking backwards. So my wife, being so sweet, she's not here, by the way. She's watching over my son. My son has a high fever. So if you could keep Caleb too in your prayers, that would be really good and appreciate it. But anyway, my wife, Ashlyn, she's like, "Hey, babe." I'm like, "Yeah? Maybe we should stop and see if we can give him a ride. It's a hot summer day, so maybe we can just give her a ride and then we go." Remember, we were baby Christians then because we had just been baptized a few months before that. We go and pull up and then get out of the car. But as I'm going to go talk to her, she's like, "Babe, wait. Maybe it is better if me and you, both of us, go talk to her. That way we don't scare her." I was like, "Okay, let's go." We got out, went to the lady, and then she turned to us. And then we asked her, "Do you need a ride somewhere? Is everything okay?" The only thing that she could do, she looked at my wife, and then she hissed. I immediately knew what was happening. I held my wife's hand, and then we went back to the car. And it has been a struggle for us to stop anywhere to help people just because of that incident. But greater is he who is in me, because that is a fear that I no longer have. Because I know how this story goes. It is an interesting title. The title of my message today is, "My Name is Legion." By the way, my wife this morning, she knew she was not going to be here because of my son has been ailing. And she told me, I read the bulletin. It's an interesting topic. No, it's an interesting title. Make sure, this is her words, "Make sure that you explain to them that that is really not your name." So I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Omari Carey. I'm an elder at Three Angels Church. Praise God. The title of my message today is, "My Name is Legion." I want to lift up Christ. I want to lift up Christ, who is our Savior. I want to lift up God, our Lord and Savior. You know, I'm here and I'm preaching. That does not make me any higher than anybody who's seated back there. Because I know what's going on in my life. I know where my God found me at. Think about the disciples. The first sight that they saw, they took off. But praise God that he sees us. He sees you and he sees me. I repeat, he sees you and then he sees me. But he's not turned off. He's not turned off by what stands in front of him. He is not turned off by who you are. He is not turned off by all the packages or the problems that you present him with. He is not turned off. But the legions of problems that are costing you. Let the church say amen. You know, by the way, don't be afraid of this word amen. When you see you are agreeing with God, you are saying, yes, Lord. I agree, Lord. Amen? That's much better. You know, like, it's okay. You're not saying it to me. You're agreeing with the Father in heaven. Amen? Yeah, so relax. It's not a bad word. It's not associated with the culture. No, 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 no. This is just a word simply affirming that you agree and you understand what Lord is saying. Praise God. In Mark chapter 5, we find the same peculiar story in Luke chapter 8. We find the same story in Matthew chapter 8 as well. In Matthew chapter 8, he talks about two people who are coming out. But we are focusing on Mark. These are the thoughts of Peter as he was explaining them to John Mark. And then they were written down to illustrate something that's really, really powerful in the name of Jesus. The majesty and the power. You know, I really appreciated the children's story. How many appreciated the story that we had today? Yeah. The power, the majesty, and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Legion. That is the sermon topic. When I read this passage over and over again, I've talked to almost 9 people throughout the past 2 weeks about this same topic. And I'm just praying. And it is my prayer that anybody who has heard me talk about this can get a fresh message today. When I read about this passage, I hear not just a cry of a man who's crazy. I hear not a cry of a man who's just demented and cut, or a man who is in shackles. But I hear the cry of a people of the last generation of Earth's history. That is you. That is me. I hear a cry of a people who have all sorts of problems. They've been legioned. The word legion, by the way, it comes from back then, even today, but back then, legion stands for 3,000. It's just like an army, you know, 3,000 to 5,000, 6,000, like just a group of army soldiers, you know. So it just kind of, I want you to look at it as a group. So when I'm talking about it, and I'm talking about right now, it's just like legioned by problems. I'm hearing of a people, that is you and me, who are legioned by the problem. And the problem that I'm talking about, because we are all different. Each one and every one of us here have so many different problems. And then yet we always think that our problems are the heaviest problems that we all have. Up until you hear somebody else's problems. But the problems are led here because of sin and who we are. Not only sin, by what we eat. We are legioned by the problems of how we eat. How we choose to live. How we choose to consume media. What we are entertaining ourselves with, what is being the most thought of or sought after thoughts in our minds, because the battle of the great controversy is the battle of the control of the mind. And I hear a loud cry from everybody. Oh, my Lord, my name is Legion. I have a legion of problems. I have a legion of bills. I have a legion of spiritual struggles. I have a legion of just health problems. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, you might think this is so much, I cannot bear it no more. But perhaps we have come here today at this church, Three Angels Church, to where Jesus is, to find peace. Think about your whole week, every single problem that you have had to face, every single trial, every single thing that is going on with your life that you think that you cannot bear it. We have come here to find peace where Jesus is at. You know, we are told by inspiration that the Spirit of the Lord draws even nearer to His people, especially on the Sabbath days. This is just not any ordinary day. This is the Sabbath of the Lord. But I have a question. Why are you here? Why are you here? The truth of the matter is, Jesus can handle the whole load of what you are going through, what you are struggling through. You just have to come and bring it to the altar, and He will fix it. Take this word in the Bible and really apply it to your life. Put yourself in it and really think about it. You know, I said that all the legions of problems that we are facing, you know, they're kind of like we're the ones who have brought them to ourselves. You know, I brought about what type of food that we're eating. I brought about how the lifestyle that we have, how we're living. And then I brought up about things that we are consuming, i.e. just the media. Last week, our pastor talked us into going through a fast. How many went through that? How many just sacrificed 3 days just of not texting? Okay, maybe I rephrase. 3 days of just doing something that pastor had said. Good. But then again, to every side, there's another side. There is those of us who have come here to worship, who have come here, people who are suffering, people who are worried, where is their next meal going to come from? Where is the clothes for their shoes or the shoes for their children for school are going to come from? There's people who are troubled about their work situation, their work conditions. But they have come here to pile them, like I said, every single thing. And each one of us is so different. And we have brought them here to the altar. But then again, there's those who have come here for a social occasion. Why are you here? I want to ask you, why are you here? There's another story in the same book, Mark, that is parallel to this and is in Mark chapter 1. If we can all turn there. Verse 21 all the way till 28, and it reads, "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. I want you to pay attention to the word Sabbath and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as the one who, having authority, and not as the scribes. Now, there was a man in the synagogue, in their synagogue, with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed that they questioned amongst themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread through out of the region of Galilee. I brought your attention to the Sabbath. And this is the Sabbath day. There might be people or persons here that have unclean spirits in them. I'm not making this up. This is stuff that we are reading in the Bible. These were people who were meeting that were Seventh-day Adventists. They were Seventh-day Sabbath keepers. In the synagogue, story stops right there about his situation because he doesn't want to go further. We are not told what he was doing. We are not told if he was a Sabbath school teacher. We are not told if he was a deacon, a deaconess. We are just told it was the Sabbath day. And in the synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit. Friends, I pause again and ask you a question. Why are you here? You know, the last time I was preaching here, I went a little over 12:30. Somebody stopped me and told me, "Well, you're going to stop and let us eat." Don't worry about it. I have a really short message, and we'll be here in time for everybody to go and eat. But then again, when you read Bible stories like these, and then you hear that people are in awe when Jesus is preaching on the Sabbath, you wonder what kind of Sabbaths are there going to be in heaven. Are you going to be thinking about food? Are you going to be thinking what you have from here, that friend that you need to go visit? Why are you here? I've wrestled and just tried to figure out. We had communion here a few weeks ago. And I really struggled because even though after Pastor comes and talks to us that the service is not over, let's go wash our feet and then come right back, we still had multitudes of people just leaving. I'm not saying anything. We are not a church whereby we will force anything. But what is it that you're struggling with? Come talk to the elders. Can I have all the elders lift up their hands, please? And the pastor. If there's something that you're struggling with, or there's a concept that you not understand, please see one of us. These are really genuinely good people. They're really, really genuinely, and they're people who have a burden for hearts. They have a burden for hearts to help. So let us help you, and then maybe you help us to understand how better we can cater to your needs. We are not going to force anybody. No, no, no. That's not the whole point. We are just trying to teach us how we can worship a holy God. These are things that we don't want to think about. These are topics that we don't want to think about. Because we feel like, why is he saying this? But they need to be said by somebody. I brought your attention to Mark chapter 1. That way we can all just bring ourselves down. You know, like, don't get pious on me thinking that you are all good. I struggle. There's things that I struggle with throughout the whole week. I've had, in my work, I've had to train somebody. And so when I'm training him, we have one workstation, and then I have my computers there. And then, so for 2 weeks, I had to train him. But this man smoked cigarettes. This man cussed a lot. This man just like to rub everything that he had all over my stuff, you know, and then I get some type of way, you know, because I'm me. So every single morning as I go to my work, I wrestle. I wrestle. I wrestle with what? I'm going to a hostile environment. I'm going to a place where I do not have all the control. And the enemy, who is real, by the way, very real. He has studied every single weakness of mankind. He has had 6,000 years to look at how we all react. And he knows just how to poke us. Every single morning I wake up, I try to have my devotion in the morning, and then I pray. But in these 2 weeks, I kept praying and asking God, please remove this guy from my presence. Because he's interfering with me. He's interfering with the whole way that I live. And I prayed. But God chose not to answer the way I wanted. I quickly realized the issue is not him. The issue is me. Right? God has something for me. 14 days turned into 40 days. Every single day for 40 days, I kept praying for this young man instead of praying about my own attitude. My name is Legion. So I'm praying, right? And then one day, day 41, I ran out of patience. He came, took his packs of cigarettes, moved them, put them in my drawer and shut it. Everything was just on there. He got into YouTube, in my computer, started playing all this different music, and I could not take it anymore. Because how is God setting me up for this situation? I felt like I was not being set up just to succeed, you know, spiritually. God has blessed me in a way whereby I can spend 8 hours of my day listening to my Bible at work. When I get tired, I switch it up. I listen to Voice of Prophecy. You know, the Spirit of Prophecy. That's what I see. I try as much as possible because I know where I was at, where God met me, and the way He has transformed my life. So I have a lot of time to make up. So the only thing that I try to do is saturate my mind with the Word of God or with spiritual things. But then again, there's the enemy right there who has known every single impulse of how I react into situations. 41, remember, this is day 41. I snapped. I am not proud of what I did because I had prayed that morning. It was a beautiful morning and I had prayed. But then again, it did not go the way it's supposed to go. I went and talked to my supervisor about it because I had been shielding all that and taking my problems to the Lord and the Lord only. But this time I felt like God was not enough. I had to tell somebody that way I can help God at His task. So here I am. I'm talking to my supervisor. I'm really talking to him. I'm explaining to him, hey, this guy, I cannot stand him anymore. Me and him, we are so different. But before that, let me take you all back. That way you understand what is actually happening here. Before that, I've been talking to him about God. Praise God. I had told him about my faith. Praise God. that very, very morning before I snapped, he had asked me how Satan had been kicked out of heaven. I explained it to him. I read it to him. I told him, because he's always listening to this YouTube channel, and then I try to put in earphones and just listen to different things. He asked me, what do you keep listening to that you don't get bored with? Every single time you're listening to something. Me, I can only listen to this YouTube, and then it starts getting repetitious. I opened my Bible on my phone. I showed him. And then I told him, this thing is so awesome that you just listen to it. And then it just reads to you, right? But then again, right after that big victory for God, I snapped. My name is Legion. There are 9 incidents in the Gospels. This is all the Gospels that we have. Jesus had interactions with demons. 9. Sister White explains, this is the first time that God had come down. This is in the book Desire of Ages. This is the first time that Jesus had come down and lived with men here on earth. And so what? The enemy seeing this, so Satan had to insert himself into this world even more powerfully than he had. So that's why we read all these peculiar stories. And I choose really carefully the word peculiar, because you know we are called to be peculiar. Most people kind of often think that that is weird. Like a weird, we need to be weird. No. Peculiar does not mean weird. It's just different than every other thing that we used to. So, Satan, in a big, big way, because God had decided to come and really manifest himself around his people, Satan himself also had to come in. But the funny thing about it is, have you noticed how in the Bible that Satan always, and this is a word you need to underline, always recognizes Jesus? This is proof that they used to hobnob together in heaven, like they used to. And he realizes every single time. But every time that he realizes this is God, he forgets who he is and has to come and salute Jesus. He recognizes Jesus as the captain of the heavenly hosts. He recognizes Jesus as his former captain in heaven. Almost every time he says, I know who you are. My brothers and sisters, if us, you and me, we can learn to recognize God, we can learn to recognize Jesus like these evil demons do, we might see a change in our lives. If only we had a knowledge of who Christ is, Jesus, our Lord, as Satan does, we would not be legioned by problems. We would not be worried, even though the devil decides to bombard us with all these different propositions that he brings every single minute. And I mean minute. This is a moment by moment. But the biggest question in this passage is, how does one get to this point? We're still trying to focus in Mark chapter 5, this demoniac. How does one get to this point? We have seen there's a thing whereby we think that demons are these pitchfork people with tails, you know, are these crazy people coming from caves. But we have contrasted the two scripture passages we have read from Mark 1, somebody who was seated at the pews in the synagogue and somebody who had come from the caves, right? How does one get to this point? I came up with three ways. Way number one is a fascination with sin's pleasures. Did you take your 3-day fast from the media? Because these things have a way to draw us in. The battle is not out here. The battle is up here. The person that comes and controls this controls who you are, controls on how you live, controls on the fullness of life that you have. A fascination of sin's pleasures. Number two, lack of self-control. And there's a remedy for that. You just keep praying. You pray because you know you don't have it. So it has to come from somewhere, right? Pray and ask. Pray and ask that you get more self-control over your own life, over your own decisions, over the things that you're consuming. Number three, complete debauchery. You know, the funniest thing is that science, I was the science teacher during VBS. I enjoyed it. I even volunteered the last time we had the presentation here. I volunteered for next year's VBS. That's how stoked I am. Like, I'm really wanting to get into that science project, you know. But the thing and the truth of the matter is, science is just now catching up to Adventism. Slowly but surely, science is now catching up to Adventism. Listen, scientists tells us, and I'm not a doctor. We have some in here, so you can go and talk with them. They can give you a little bit. This is just a little bit of what I've been studying into this topic. Scientists have talked and come up with a thing that they say about habits. Think about all the habits that we have, right? So somebody has a habit, probably it's a bad habit, you know, and it's a bad habit of, let's say, gossiping. In the church, I'm not talking even habits that we take to our home where everybody else cannot see us. We have bad habits, you know? We have habits of stealing. There's all these different kinds of habits. We have habits of alcohol. But this is what the scientist tells us. That in our brains, or maybe even before that, these habits, they start in a physical way, believe it or not. That in our brains, there are valleys called convolutions. And in these convolutions, there are cells with finger-like things that are called boutons, right? They say it's eighth grade science, but I'm not sure. But they're called boutons, right? When we get in the habit of anything, I want you to pay close attention to what I'm saying. When we get into the habit of anything, these buttons begin to fatten up. So think about the habit that you have. Maybe you eat a little bit too much. Maybe you have anger issues. And then it's just a habit that you keep doing and feeding into it. And then you just like cussing out. Anyway, these finger-like things, they're called boutons. And the more we keep doing and feeding into these habits, the boutons start fattening up. So that way, you have fat boutons, you know? Fat boutons, you know, like you have a bad habit maybe of gossiping. You have fat gossiping boutons, right? And then you have probably a bad habit of smoking. You have bad fat smoking boutons, right? You have a habit, probably is deep down. You have a problem with a different race. You have a bad fat habit of that. But what, remember what I told you, that science is just now catching up to Adventism? My brothers and sisters, there is hope. Don't lose the picture of what I told you about. At the very beginning, we have Christ. We have somebody who has power over demons. The demons come and they worship at his feet without him asking. So you wonder, in Mark chapter 5, how did this man get to this point? How did this man, created by God, get to this point to be called the demoniac, right? But the same scientist, it has been said that if a person exacts his will, this is really important, if a person exacts his will, there is a chemical in the brain called GABA. It's short for something that stands with G, GABA something, but I'm not going, like, I know my cells and I know my limits. We're just going to call it GABA. That put these buttons on a skinny diet. I'm sorry if you didn't understand. Like the fat buttons of gossiping that you're struggling with, there's chemicals in our brains if we exact our will. So that means that you like gossiping, but then again, you choose not to gossip. You're putting that button on a skinny diet. So there's a reversal that happens in our minds. It reverses the whole process. I think about back to the story. This person who could not be controlled by any human being, who could not be controlled by any chains or shackles, but then again, he had the thought process to come and kneel before God and kneel before Jesus Christ. We are told through inspiration that Jesus looked him in the eyes and saw the prayer that this man wanted to pray. What are you struggling with? What kind of legions do you have? What kind of legions are you struggling with that you think that you cannot have control over? I urge you to bring and present them to Christ. The Lord knows that we want to do right, most of us. He knows that we desire to do the right thing, most of us. That if you just come to me and subject your will, this is Jesus speaking, if you just come to me and subject your will, I will hear and I will answer and set you free. Praise God. Praise God. I've read this quotation several times, and it's in Desire of Ages, page 63. The writer goes and says, if we consent, he will so identify himself with our thoughts and aims. I'm going to start over for those who are sleeping. If we consent, he will so identify himself with our thoughts and aims, so blend our hearts, so blend our hearts and minds into conformity into conformity to his will. Now, are you seeing how scientists are paying attention to what Adventism have already known for a long, long, long time? She continues on and says, then, that when obeying him, we shall be carrying out our own impulses, the will, refined and sanctified, will find its highest delight in doing his service through an appreciation of the character of Christ. What? Through an appreciation of the character of Christ, through communion with God, sin will become hateful to us. Every single Sabbath, every single Sabbath, we have people who come here and preach. These are not people who are trying to lift themselves up. These are people like you and me, people who struggle, but they know the answer. Take all of that and turn it to God and tell him, you do what I cannot do. I have a problem. I enjoy doing this. I enjoy doing that. But you have it. Have it your way. I take you back to my story. Day 41, I go to my supervisor, right? I'm like, Mike. He's like, yeah, Omari, what's going on? And then he says, Mike. I'm like, Mike, I'm struggling with this guy because this guy, he's different from me, you know? And we just have different lifestyles, and he's just really getting in the way because I'm trying to even ask him to do something, and then he refuses blatantly, just telling me that I'm not his supervisor anymore. Guess what Mike did? Because I thought I was trying to help God to help me. Mike told me, Omari, I've never seen you in this way. You're probably just having a bad day. I prayed. I went to the bathroom and prayed. Immediately after, the next day, this man had his own workstation, and praise God, God answered. But he brought me to that place to understand one thing. At times, people we might be seeing, and then we think that they're struggling with something, and something is wrong with them. They are bombarded with legions. But then again, it's not them. It's us. If there's something that you're struggling with, that you need prayer, come. Come. If there's something that you're struggling with in your life right now, that you know you cannot handle it, bring it to the altar right now. We have to elevate ourselves. The whole point of what I'm trying to say is there's a level we haven't reached yet. God has commissioned us to do an even greater thing. That in so doing, our own will will be doing whatever God wants, and we will find pleasure in it. There's not even one person who is perfect. Father, help us. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Our kind and loving Father who art in heaven, you are powerful. You are all so gracious. You are all power. We do not recognize who you are or how much power you have. And for that, we ask for forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness for letting or even entertaining the thought that there's a different power that has a power over us. We ask for forgiveness for who we are. We ask for forgiveness, Father, for not trusting you enough. Look at your people, Father. These are not mine. This is your people. You know each and every struggle that each and every one of us here are struggling with. I ask you to bring healing. I ask you to meet each and every need that is represented in this church. Teach us how to obey you. Teach us how to be good servants. Teach us how to have a different spirit in us, Father. But most importantly, Father, teach us how to obey your word. Send us out here, Father, fully refreshed, knowing that greater is he who that is in me than the one who is out there. Father in heaven, be with your people. Send us out. Give us divine appointments this Sabbath and this coming week, Father. That way we might stay focused. And the only focus is on Christ. That way you use us to bring glory to our Father in heaven. It is my humble prayer. In Jesus' name I do pray and believe. Amen. Amen.
Our closing song is 526. Please stand with me.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face on certain days, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, our fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen.
Praise God. Do not fear. Do not fear about a single thing in this world, because we know the power that is pushing us. Go out this week and spread the truth. Have a blessed Sabbath. Thank you.